That song is a beautiful song, "When We All Get to Heaven, and May It Be So." I believe that someone said, well, everybody's singing about heaven's not going there, and they went back and they changed the song. And they changed it to "When the Saved Get to Heaven." But when all, or when the saved, when the saved get to heaven, that's everybody that ought to be in heaven is going to be there. Let God's people say amen. Want to say good morning and welcome each of you to our worship. Those who are coming to us by social media, those who are on Facebook live stream, the conference call system. We thank God for your taking the opportunity to connect with us this morning, that we might render a worship that is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of the great God of heaven. The scripture reading came from the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. The verse is number 14, and I'm going to ask that you meet with us there in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 14, and I will reread that verse of scripture for emphasis' sake. Hebrews 13 and 14, the Bible says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And from that section of scripture this morning, I've entitled the lesson, "What Are You Seeking?" What are you seeking? And as we go through this this morning, we pray something will be said that will encourage us a long life way. And I want to be appreciative to our elders, to the deacons, to our technology team that are all working with us on this morning. And I already mentioned to the people in the technology booth that I've got so much lesson here this morning that I could have maybe about a 3 or 4 hour lesson. I've been told that if so, that I would be here all by myself. But there's some good stuff in the Word of God. Is the Word of God good? The Word of God is good. The Word of God is gracious. And it just gets so good, and I hope and pray not just that it sounds good, but that the Word of God can minister to us this morning. We are in a time that ministry certainly ought to be obviously necessary, and we know that it's necessary, but sometimes it makes it more obvious than others. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, one of the things that Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Beautiful statement that Apostle Paul makes right there. He says, "Brothers, listen, I have not apprehended." That is, I have not grasped, I have not held on to, I have not achieved where it is that I'm ultimately trying to get to. Paul is saying that I am on the way, but I am not all the way there yet. And this brings into thought this morning also that we have so many people that are, thank you, brother, that are on their way. We have people that have graduated in the year 2020. Isn't that a beautiful thing? People are having virtual commencements, and somebody said, if you have a virtual commencement, you didn't graduate. Well, you argue with them and their diploma. We have our kids from the grade schools all the way up who've moved from one level to the next. So this is a great new beginning. That's what commencement means. It's a beginning. And what Apostle Paul said is that I'm on my way. Paul says, I haven't grasped where ultimately it is that I'm trying to grow. We have our college students who have graduated. We have senior high school students who have graduated. They've got that sheepskin, if you will, that paper in their hands, and they are on their way. And to them and us and all of us this morning, I just want to ask the question, what are you seeking? What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're searching for in this life? Paul says, for I have not apprehended, and in the book of Hebrews, the author said, we have here no continuing city, but he says that we're looking for one to come. And I want to take this time this morning to maybe outline some things as we're going through this land of sorrows, we're going through this land of challenges, we're going through this land of even blessing and opportunity, that we remember this world is not my home. Thank you, Brother Dondi. Brother Dondi already had that on his song list. I asked him if he knew that song, "This World Is Not My Home." Do you know that song? Did you hear it this morning? Did you sing it? "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Well, I tell you, it'd be great if Brother Barry and I could do a duo. maybe not. The world, we're just passing through. This is not where we are ultimately going to be. This is not even where we ultimately want to be. The question again then is, what are you seeking? In the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." This is an amazing statement. I covered this on last Lord's Day during the devotion on Sunday evening, that Jesus had said, look, I am going to endure the cross. I'm going to go through some things. I'm going to experience some hardship. He's going to endure the cross, despise the shame, because he was willing to go through it to get to the other side, to be able to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus endured some things. And brother, listen, sister, listen, I don't know how you read your Bible, but there's something in there I think we need to pay attention to. Because sometimes folk think that things are always going to be easy, that things are not going to be difficult. But you need to check what the scripture says. Look in Acts the 14th chapter and verse number 22. Acts 14 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, Paul and Barnabas were encouraging the members of the family of God that you ought to continue in the faith." Brother, listen, sister, listen. I don't know what you're looking for, but we want to continue in the faith. Yes, we have commenced. We have begun. We're on our road to what some folk would call great success. And all of that, yes, is before us. But listen, continue in the faith. No matter what else we get in this life, brother, we need to make sure that we continue in the faith. We ought to stay strong. And Paul and Barnabas are exhorting and encouraging the members of the family of God. Continue in the faith. Notice this, the latter part of verse number 22, though. "And that we must," is that in your Bible? "And that we must, through," get it, "much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." The way to heaven is not an easy way. The way to heaven is not going to be something that you go hopping and skipping and singing and joyously going in every day. The Bible is telling us that we, through much tribulation, must enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to look at Apostle Paul here for a moment in Acts the 14th chapter, because you'll remember now in Acts the 14th chapter that he and Barnabas had gone and they were preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ to the Lycaonians. And Paul was preaching it and they thought him to be Mercury. They thought Barnabas to be Jupiter, because Paul was the one that was doing the preaching. So they figured he was the lesser god and Barnabas was just sitting back and he was watching everything. So they believed him to be a higher god. So they made Paul and Barnabas Mercurius and Jupiter. And Paul preaching the word of God, and the Lycaonians came out and they were going to sacrifice some oxen to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul had to tell them, no, you don't do this. We're telling you to leave this kind of foolishness behind. Now notice, interestingly, do you know that people can turn on you? People can turn on you really quick. They wanted to sacrifice oxen to Paul and Barnabas, and then some Jews came and they stirred up the city against Paul and Barnabas, and they stoned Paul and threw him out of the city and left him for dead. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. But after they stoned Paul and left him for dead outside the gate, he got up and went back into the city. Lord, amazing things happen. And the next day he traveled. If you just got beaten, stoned, and left for dead for preaching in one city, what do you do when you get to the next? He got up and he preached the word of God. And he said, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So brother, listen, sister, listen. As you're on your way, there are obstacles you are going to encounter. As you're on your way, there are difficulties. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to go through. But we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's perhaps precisely what Abraham did when he was on his way to the promised land. When he was on his way to the physical promised land. Now, you know, Abraham is a very interesting study in the word of God. God told Abraham, everywhere your footstep, that's your land. What would you do if the Lord said to you, everywhere you step, that's your land? Boy, I would have a whole lot of land. I'm just saying, this Brother Wilkinson, I have a whole lot of land. I might put my jogging shorts and my tennis shoes on, and I'll be jogging. Where are you going? Hey, I'm claiming my land. I'm claiming my land. I'd have a grass tennis court. I'd have a clay court. I'd have a hard court. I'd have a swimming pool. I'd have all of those comforts that when folk look at it, somebody will say, oh, he has a right. He is somebody. But I want you to know what Abraham did. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 10, for he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, why is the Hebrew writer telling us that here Abram was looking for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God? Is because everywhere he went, he stepped on the ground. That's your land, my boy. That's your land, my son. But the Bible says in verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. He was living in a tent with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God says, Abraham, everywhere your footstep, that's your land. And now he's got his sons. He's got Isaac and Jacob, and they are heirs with him of the same promise. And they are living in tents. And they owned all the land. Now, this is an amazing, amazing thing. I think something that's even more amazing is the stuff that's not in the Bible, because he was married. He had a wife. His wife's name was Sarah. And I don't read anywhere in this scripture text, anywhere in the word of God, where that sister said, baby, didn't you say God said all of this is your land? How about you take time to build a sister a house? It's not in there. We don't even find her complaining about anything. That here, all of this is it. And he sojourned, meaning that he understood, just like in the song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. He says, this is not where I want to be. He's looking for another city, a city that has foundation. When you go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3, and Apostle Paul says that he had not yet apprehended, he had not attained. He said, I haven't gotten to where I want to be. He is one who has education. He is one who has been trained. He is upright, and he's known throughout all of the land among the Jews and the heathen as well. He has built a reputation. He's a powerful preacher. But Paul says, hey, all of that stuff, I don't even worry about it. He said, I count it as dung. You know what dung is? That's the kind of stuff that I use to fertilize my garden. Okay, it's the poop. Can I say poop while I'm preaching? Too late. I said it. All right. But Paul says all of that stuff is worthless. I'm not minimizing any accomplishments that we have in this life. God bless us. God, we thank you for the blessings that you've granted unto us. But Paul is letting us know that this stuff is not really where our Our minds ought to be set. It's not what we ought to be seeking. What are you seeking? What are we looking for in this life? It's important that we understand what the focus is for the child of God. And I didn't say what the focus ought to be. I said what the focus is for the child of God. Because we are in a land where there's a lot of trouble that is going on. And we need to understand that and put it in context. And I'll talk about a little bit of these things. Like I said, you know, I won't get to the second or third or fourth hour, but I'll do 40 minutes, maybe. The Bible says in Revelation 3 and verse number 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Did you get that? It says, "Him that," what's the word? "Overcometh." You've got to be an overcomer in order to enter into the temple of God. And he says, "And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God," which is New Jerusalem. The word of God. The word of God is reminding us, listen, that we are going to have to go through some things in this life. We're going to have to overcome some things in this life in order to enter triumphantly into that wonderful city of God. Brother, man, I tell you, I feel like singing up here. You know, Dundee, don't do it. I know, because some people think that I can't sing, and they are just so wrong. They are so wrong. One brother told me, he said, "Brother Wilkerson, you are an inspirational singer." And I said, oh, yeah. Inspiration. He said, "Yeah, brother." He said, "You know, you make me want to sing because you know you can't sing, but you do it anyway." So he said, "You're an inspirational singer." And I said, "Brother, I make a joyful noise to the Lord." Man, I'm telling you, Paul and Abraham and the Hebrew author are showing us where our affection ought to be, where our mind ought to be. During vacation Bible school, every once in a while, we would sing a song. "I got my head in heaven, my feet on the earth. I'm seeing the worth of my life. My head is in heaven." Where's your head this morning? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? They that say such things, Hebrews 11, 14, declare plainly they seek a country. They were looking for something. Abram was looking for something. Paul was looking for something. In Hebrews 11, verse number 13, they are confessing that they are pilgrims. They are strangers. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims. Are you a stranger here? Are you a pilgrim here? Are you just a passing through? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up where? Somewhere beyond the blue. Because I'm seeking another city. I'm seeking another city. Why? Because I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home. Folks out here don't like to hear you say stuff like this. But, you know, have you ever had some epiphany or revelation that just hit you? We have this COVID virus thing going around. You probably heard of it. Yes, people are dying every day. The fact of the matter is, every 3 seconds, somewhere in the world, somebody dies. That's regardless of the COVID virus. The statistical numbers are every 3 seconds in the world, somebody dies. It's not whether or not we're going to die. The question is, are we ready when we get out of here? What are you looking for? What are you seeking? But now look. We've got to do a little mind work. Can we do that? We've got to focus. We got to make up our mind. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, get this. It says, "Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth." Where are our affections to be? What are you looking for? Set your affections. Get your head in heaven. Yes, your feet, your body is on the earth, but put your mind in heaven. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The Bible reminds us, brother, "For ye are dead and your life is hid in Christ."
We are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Did you know that? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't do a lot of traveling. I lived in Ennis, Texas, grew up on a pig farm, played a little baseball, and we went to Waxahachie. Waxahachie was, a long way away. Oh, Lord, I get so sleepy every time we had to travel from Ennis to Waxahachie. I'd get in the pickup truck that the coach was taking us in, and we'd be on that pickup truck, and I'd fall asleep because it was so far away. It was 14 miles away. Whew, I could not stay awake for that long trip. I didn't do a lot of traveling. But when I grew up and got married and had children and all of that, we started doing this thing called, you probably heard of it, vacation. Have you ever done vacation before? And we started traveling. And man, we started traveling. We traveled so I even bought a passenger van or travel van, a custom van. So we're going to hit the road. And I had kids that were with us when we were traveling. And they would have a question when we were traveling. You probably heard this if you ever traveled with your kids. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there. And my son, he just could not constrain himself. He just hated being cooped up for any period of time. And are we there yet? The dog, are we there yet? No, I'll tell you when we get there, all right? Okay, we're on our way. We're just traveling. We have to have a reminder sometimes. And we need to ask that question ourselves. Are we there yet? Are we where we're supposed to be? Paul said, I haven't held on to it. I've begun, I've commenced, but I'm not yet where I want to be. I am on my way to that celestial city. I'm on my way to that city of God. And we, as members of the family of God, need to remember that we are not all the way home yet. Let me ask you a question. Do you know when you're feeling what you're feeling? Do you know? Or does somebody have to tell you? I saw this commercial on TV and the young lady is advertising, I think, a chicken sandwich, a young sister, and she's eating this chicken sandwich. And she takes a bite and she's like, I'm feeling some things. I'm feeling some things. I don't think it was Chick-fil-A. I think it was somebody else. I'm feeling some things. And I say, oh, sister, now you ought not be out there talking about you feeling some things eating this. But you know what? That's what she was feeling. And she's getting to eat the sandwich and she's getting paid probably for the commercial too. You don't let somebody else tell you what you are feeling. You don't have to have somebody tell you what's going on in your own heart and your own mind. I'm just giving you an illustration before I lay this out for you because some people will be offended. I'm absolutely certain of that. But do you know when somebody's stepping on your toe? Yes, sir. I'm talking about physically, literally. Right here, right down that aisle, right here, one of our seasoned saints. And then, you know, I got to be real careful with this now because, you know, I have discovered I am a seasoned saint. I was talking about my kids a little bit earlier. You know, they started to check on me and my wife. They're checking on us more often. And they're calling and, how you doing? How you feeling? And all of that. And then I start to realize something. It's like, you know what? They're checking on us because we're old. That epiphany that I was talking about, it's like, you know what? I am old. Now, of course, you know, wives don't get older. They just get better, right? Amen. No, don't start now. But they're calling and they're checking because we're older. And as African American people, in the U.S. with the COVID virus, have you discovered that we are more at risk because we are black or African people and there are several different cultural concepts that go along with that and I can't deal, but people get upset, well, why you mention that? Because you need to take really extra precaution if you fit into a particular demographic and I happen to fit into that demographic. And men get sicker and are suffering more with it than the female counterparts. Now, the thing is that if you are a black man, you are at risk for the COVID virus. If you're in my age group, you're at a higher risk. And if you're a black man and you get it, then you are more likely to die. Now, what do you say all of that for, Brother Wilkerson? Listen. I'm saying try not to get it, number one, all right? But those are the kinds of things we need to be aware of. And don't let somebody else tell you what your feelings are. I had a seasoned saint, a sister older than me, so I'd have to call her a senior seasoned saint. Right here, right in the eye. And she didn't mean to do it, I'm pretty sure. But she stepped on my toe in her high heel shoes. What do you do when somebody steps on your toe? What did you do, Brother Wilkerson? I said, and you know what she said? She said, oh, brother, I'm sorry. Did I step on your foot? I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. I got another foot. I'm a comical person. I'm funny. I make jokes and stuff. But I didn't want her to step on my other toe. I didn't need anybody to tell me that that sister was standing on my toe. The minute she stepped on it, I felt it, and I felt a need to get her off of my toe. Now, I know some people have a higher threshold of pain. I have a high threshold of pain for that matter, but my feet apparently seem to be a little bit sensitive. Tell you about a brother. He was a song leader when I was over at the Highland Gardens Church of Christ. Many of you may remember Brother A.B. Walton. He also and I shared the concept of pig farming. He had some pigs. Brother A.B., a very macho, strong kind of man, loved to sing. But one time when he was out working with his pigs, and you know, we used to have these old, big old 50-gallon drums, and he had something like that, one of those steel drums, and he had some stuff in, and he's out working out by himself, and the drum really should not have been something he was trying to move by himself, and he dropped that thing right on his foot. And he knew immediately that he was hurt. And he is like, oh my goodness. He got it off, finished doing whatever he was going to do. And he didn't take his shoe off because he knew it was hurt until he got back to his house. And when he took the shoe off, his toe was just barely hanging on. And what he did is that he got the scissors and he cut the toe off. Himself. You're talking about manly and macho kind of man. Yeah, that's a manly. But he knew he was experiencing some pain. He knew he was experiencing some things. And he took that toe off. Not everybody wouldn't be able to do that. But now, do you think that he has a right to notice that he is having some pain? Do we have that right? Now, I'm going to mention Ahmaud Arbery. And somebody, oh, Lord, don't say nothing about that. And we've got people that are of African descent that are living in the U.S. Don't say nothing about that. Don't. But listen, and they get upset. Barack Obama said something about Ahmaud Arbery, LeBron James said something about Ahmaud. We don't need any, don't say anything about that. If somebody steps on your foot, you have the authority, the right to let them know that they're standing on you. You don't need anybody's permission when somebody steps on your foot. But I want you to get another perspective from this, because the thing that I want you to understand is when we are traveling along through this land and we're riding along in the van and we ask the question, are we there yet? Stuff like this tells us you are not there yet. What are we looking for? We're going to get out of here. What we want to do is be ready when we arrive. We want to be ready. We're seeking a different city. We're seeking a celestial city. We want to remind people that we're looking for something that is not here yet. There's enough turmoil in this land to remind us, brother, we're not there yet. Sister, we're not there yet. We have to make sure that we keep our eyes stayed on the Lord. All of the trials that we are going through in this life are just a reminder. We're not there yet. We are not there yet. The Bible says in Psalm 121 and verse number 1, you know it, we say it all the time. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Are you looking to the heavens? Are you lifting up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help? Our help is in the Lord. Our help is the Lord. And when we go through all of these turmoils, we go all through these things, we go through the racial inequalities, we go through the COVID virus, we go through loss of job, loss of business, loss of income, loss of houses, loss of all of this stuff. Remember, we are not home yet. What are you looking for? Yes, we want to try to achieve and accomplish as much as we can while we're here. But remember, my head is in heaven, my feet are on the earth. But I'm seeing the worth of my life. I am on my way. And I said this when you had that big revelation moment. And people don't like to hear you say it. And I've said it to my family. I've said it to friends before. I tell them, I said, I believe that I have more days behind me than I have in front of me. Now, I don't know. Maybe the Lord will bless me with another 66 years. But my thought process is, I've got more years behind me than I have in front of me. So what do we want to do with the time that we have? Brother, we need to get ready. We need to get ready. There's a song, it's an old blues song or R&B song. So I know Christian people, y'all don't know anything about it. But the song said, I'm looking here and there. I'm looking everywhere. Y'all don't know about that. All right, you might know about that. I'm looking for a love. You know, it's not in tune. I'm looking for a love, he said, to call my own. So, but the idea, I'm looking. Oh, you heard, I'm looking. But the question, what are we looking for? Are we looking for the celestial city? Are we looking for the city of God? What are we seeking in this life? I've got my head in heaven, my feet are on the earth, but I'm looking because I know that I've got in my own heart, my own mind, more days behind me than I have in front of me. And guess what? None of us know the day or the hour of our departure. We don't know. We do not know. We do not know the day. We don't know the hour of our departure. But we do know that we have to be ready when it's time to go. So let's get ready, brother. Let's get ready, sister. Let's get ready to go. The Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Did you get that? See, this is not in happenstance. We have to be about the business of looking for God. We have to diligently seek after the Lord. We are not going to casually find heaven. We've got to be diligent in our search. We've got to be looking here and there, looking everywhere. Keep our head in heaven, our feet on the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm on my way to the promised land, and we've got to be ready. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I know it's a delicate balance while we are here. I know it's a delicate balance, and there are some things, again, we'll be aware of. I know we have the right to insist on our rights at times, but it's not all about our rights and stuff that are here because we're going somewhere. But just from a biblical standpoint, people need to know this. Yes, you do have a right to say something when somebody steps on your foot. You need to know that. You can get people off of your foot. Now, notice, the Bible says in Acts the 16th chapter, that word came to Apostle Paul and Silas. They were in prison. And they had been beaten and put in prison. And the magistrate sent word. The Bible says, and the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go now. Therefore, depart and go in peace. You've been put in jail. And you've been put in jail. And you weren't supposed to be there. And you've been beat and put in jail. And the magistrate sends a message. Okay, you can go free now. What do you do? Do you pack up and, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm out of jail. But you know what Paul did? Paul didn't say, okay, I'm going to be happy, going to leave. Notice in verse number 37, Paul insisted on his rights on this occasion. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. I'm a citizen. And have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, Paul said, no, it ain't. That ain't happening. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. Let them come and lead us out of the jail. They put us in there. We shouldn't have been. They insisted on their rights. I'm saying it's a delicate balance. While we are here, we do have rights of citizenship here on the earth. But listen, I'm not worried so much about the earth. I'm not going to put all my attention, all my focus on the earth, because my head is in heaven. My feet are on the earth. I'm going to have to end right here. We are certainly thankful that God blessed us to have this avenue to come to you through social media. Just want to remind all of our graduates and all of our grade level that go from one grade to the next, those who are graduating college, those who are graduating from high school, those who are commencing their lives, those who are commencing from one grade to the other. And you know, I know that's been a hard time from the educational standpoint this time around, but God bless you with the great blessing that you have. But my reminder to everyone, to all of us, is continue to seek that city above. Continue to look and to author and finish our faith, Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. If you believe that, it saves you. Confess your faults one to another. James says to us, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I say this because you know that Brother Wilkerson needs much prayer. Y'all keep praying for me. I've got friends and family that stand deeply in need of prayer. So keep them in your heart as well. Now, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you will turn from self and sin and turn to God, at the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 10:32. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then do what? Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, rise to walk in newness of life, and all will be well with your soul. You'll be on your way to the promised land. Set your affections on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Put your mind where it ought to be. Yes, pay attention to stuff that's going on down here. But we're trying to get out of here, brother. We're trying to get all the way home to be with God. If you desire to be baptized, or if you have someone that needs to be baptized, please call our phone number, 713-672-2654. Leave a message in the office and we will get to you. If you're going through our webpage, then you can go to our bulletin. There's a link there. Send an email, but let us know and we will come and baptize you right now. If there are any who stand in need of invitation, please do that right now. At this time, I will turn you into the hands of the brothers for the balance of the service. God bless you and keep you. Thank you.